Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Welcome to the show. In case you don't know, this is a faith and values program that tries to intersect faith and values with different issues going on in our culture, locally and globally. It's always a pleasure doing the show, especially this 4th of July weekend, where tomorrow is our celebration of July the 4th. This is a special July the 4th program trying to appreciate the faith and values that are given to us freely in this nation as a part of our freedom. Ed Billick joins me on the show, and Ed, I just want to make sure that everyone knows my thanks to Henderson Properties and Perry's Fine Jewelry for their sponsorship of the show. It means more than I can possibly imagine. So 4th of July tomorrow. Ed, what does 4th of July mean to you?
You know, David, it's interesting when you get emotional over things. Fireworks were always great. Family events, always great. Appreciation for this country. But there's certain music that we'll play some of it later on that gets the emotions going.
Kind of touches the heart.
Yeah, not teary-eyed, but there's a feel-good, you know. With everything that goes on in this country, when you still look at that red, white, and blue flag, you feel blessed that you were born and raised here.
You know, I was thinking a couple of weeks ago when we saw Colombia vote a leftist, more socialist president into power, and Macron in France was challenged by a far leftist kind of person, but also on the right as well. And then we've also seen other places in the world, Israel, for one, where Naftali Bennett's government has fallen apart and being challenged by a more socialist, anti-democratic side. How it seems like democracy and freedom is being challenged on so many different fronts all throughout the world. It looks like people want the government just to take care of them and provide for them instead of appreciating the freedoms that our government gives to us. So as I've thought about that happening worldwide, it made me even appreciate America and our constitutional freedoms that have been granted to us.
And I truly believe a majority, I'm saying 60-70% of us Americans, love our country, love what's going, you know, love the foundational, love the liberties and the freedom that we share.
Well, I have a question for you. If our nation's so horrible, why does everybody in the world want to come here?
Yeah.
I mean, why on our border right now are we having an invasion of literally tens of thousands of people who want to get into our country illegally, but they still want to get into our country because they know how great our country is?
And, you know, David, you've traveled abroad, and when people, I mean, they respect in most places Americans, and they are curious on the freedoms that we enjoy.
Well, they're exceptional freedoms, and that's what we're going to look at in today's show, some of those freedoms that were guaranteed to us in our Constitution, and we should never take them for granted. They are wonderful freedoms granted to us by our founding fathers who came out of a tyrannical situation from England and some from France and just said, no, that's not what we want at all. We don't want a king. We don't want that kind of tyranny. We want freedom for our people. And, you know, this beautiful constitutional freedom that we have is only as strong as the people are who will vote to make sure that it's maintained. And it was, I think, Alexander de Tocqueville who traveled around America in the 1840s. And he said, America is great because Americans are good. And America will cease to be great when Americans cease to be good.
Oh, that's interesting.
And when we don't take advantage of our constitutional republic and the uniqueness of this document that was given to us, and, you know, I'm an originalist with the Constitution. I think we need to follow what the original intent of the authors was, and I think we need to value that in great detail because they came out of an experience where they knew the importance of freedom. I don't think we can look at the Constitution and kind of throw it aside and go, oh, we need to make sure that we have whatever we want for today's culture, because at that point you're going to have chaos when everybody does what is right in their own eyes. It's interesting. There's a verse in the Bible in Judges 21:25 where God said that Israel going through the darkest days of their history was because everybody did what was right in their own eyes. And if we get to that point here in America, we will be a nation that loses our constitutional freedoms, but also is a nation that's in jeopardy.
This hour that we spend every Sunday is an example of our freedom. No one tells us what to talk about. We're not prescribed on what to say. We come in with our own hearts and minds. We talk our faith. We talk our values. And here on the 50,000-watt blowtorch, as we call WBT, we're allowed to do that.
Yep, and I don't think that should ever be taken away. And I think the ability to express our opinions is still so very important.
As is with the entire, all the other shows.
Exactly. And if I have a program on another station or even on this station that differs from my opinions, Let there be the free marketplace of ideas. Share your opinion. Let me share my opinion. And then over time, we'll see which one is right and correct. But just allow there to be the free speech that we need in this world. Elon Musk, now with the Twitter purchase, I hope will open up that venue to be a place where people can express their ideas more fully. I think that allows for a healthy free marketplace of ideas, and people are able to share what they believe and arrive at the right conclusions because both sides have been heard. But when you have a government that suppresses speech and says you can't talk like that, and that's disinformation, and they are the ones who decide what disinformation is or not, that's an unhealthy environment, and we need to protect speech at all costs. So, Ed, happy 4th of July tomorrow, and we'll look some more at our precious freedoms when I come back. I'm David Chadwick. This is News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT, and again, Ed and I will be right back.
It's the guts and it's the glory, 100 stripes, 100 stories. It's the pledge of allegiance on the 4th of July. It's them handwritten letters from home. It's them sleepless nights alone. It's his newborn baby he left with his wife. Mr. Red, White, and Blue.
What a great nation we live in to have these kind of freedoms that we can enjoy. Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Happy 4th of July tomorrow. It's such a great and wonderful time in our nation when we pause and celebrate the beauty of our flag, what it means, and the freedoms that we are enjoying. By the way, if you'd like to hear this program in its entirety, go to WBT.com, scroll down to the weekend shows. Look at the David Chadwick Show, and you can hear the program from the beginning to the end without commercials. My friend Ed Billick joins me every week. And Ed, what an exceptional time of year. It's just a reminder what a special nation we live in.
Oh, absolutely. And all the memories, too, of our childhood through our adult life and sharing it with family and friends and all the events of the 4th of July, Independence Day, as we say. And I remember 1976 when we celebrated the 200th.
I remember that as well.
That was very special, and they're all special.
Yeah, they are indeed. And, you know, I just want to make sure all of us today appreciate our freedoms. And I just can't help but think some about my submarine World War II veteran father-in-law, Harper Bray, my wife's father, who is still alive at 94, caring for his invalid wife. First of all, a wonderful illustration of covenant promise to his beloved. And even though she's in bed and can hardly even speak, he cares for her infinitely and deeply just because he said, I love her and I promise to do so. It reminds me some of my dad doing that with my mom as well. And Harper is now at almost 70 years of marriage. Yes, folks, you heard me rightly, 70 years of marriage. And he's a remarkable man, but also was one of those who was in that little tin can in the Pacific Ocean in a submarine trying to help protect American freedoms during World War II. And he has so many stories he could tell. But I know if he was here right now, what he would say is make sure that you guard your constitutional freedoms. He said as a soldier in World War II, he actually had to take courses in submarine school about the dangers of communism. And that's what they were fighting against largely as they were patrolling the Pacific area. And his greatest concern, folks, is that we will not appreciate our constitutional freedoms that have been guaranteed to us and that we just take them for granted and never appreciate them as well. So I just want to make sure I honor Harper, but also honor all of you out there who have potentially given your lives for some kind of war or conflict that our nation has been involved in the last decades. For you, I want to give a hearty round of applause and say thank you so much, because without you, we would not have these precious freedoms that we're going to explore today.
And for their family members that are still with us, those who have passed, you know, to thank them for their service, for their spouses or grandfathers or grandparents. It's a special country, David.
It is, and again, we've talked some previously about how our founding fathers were largely from a Judeo-Christian ethic. That's not to say that other religions aren't appreciated here. We do have, as one of our freedoms, again, we'll look at in just a moment, that we don't have an established religion here in America. We honor all religions to be freely exercised. But yet, on the other hand, they did have values that they thought should be as an important part of our country. And we need to acknowledge those values as well. And one of those is freedom. That they really valued freedom because they came from a tyranny where the king and the government demanded people to do whatever they told them to do without the ability to make their choices themselves. So they came here and had our Constitution written to try to guarantee that the people, we the people, were the ones who controlled everything. And that's why voting is so important. It is a right that has been given to us. It's a precious freedom. We need to take advantage of it. But also that in this constitutional republic, our people in power would represent us at the government level, and we would be able to have a government that is for the people and by the people for our sake and for God's glory.
It sounds very pure, sounds very perfect, and we know we're flawed. We have problems with how we operate, but we're still operating.
We still are, and I just think these freedoms need to be honored. And so, Ed, let's look at the first one that is guaranteed to us in the First Amendment. It's the freedom of speech. And we see that being attacked today in ways that were never attacked before. We're seeing the suppression of speech. We're seeing a disinformation group that's being formed in order to determine what is right or wrong speech. And I just believe that speech is a guaranteed freedom, and the way you overcome bad speech is with better speech. That when someone makes a stupid statement, you overcome that by making a right statement. And when you start suppressing speech and you say you can't say that, then you allow people to become very angry, suppressed, frustrated, and eventually that's what foments a rebellion. And so we have, as one of our guarantees in the Constitution that makes us different than a lot of nations on the face of this earth, we have the freedom of speech, and we can say what we want to say. That's a guarantee that's given to us.
And we have to have the responsibility because, too, we should be held accountable for what we say. And, you know, there are consequences. I'm trying to say this, David. I go to Jack Del Rio of the Washington Commanders, and he said, you know, he called the January 6th a dust-up. Well, part of me says, you know, you're allowed to have an opinion on anything you want, but you also represent the Washington Commanders. And I was just thinking of this. Yes, there's consequences for what you say, but you still have the right to say it.
Right. And what that's going to do now is to intimidate him and anybody else in that organization from ever expressing an opinion. And I just think, yet I always ask the question, in the long run. In the long run, is that going to be healthy for an organization? Is that going to be healthy for a team? When people feel like they're being suppressed and looked down upon simply by expressing their opinion, I don't think that's healthy. Now, if after he says that, Ron Rivera wants to decide whether he wants to keep him as a coach or not because he wants unity on his staff in some ways, that's his decision. But if you immediately suppress free speech, you're not allowing people to be who they are. And I think in the long run, that is unhealthy and causes some organization, some nation to fall. And it's just not good.
David, your thoughts on hateful speech, because there's plenty of that.
Well, I think hateful speech is wrong speech. The problem is, Ed, we live in a culture that everybody is so sensitive to getting their feelings hurt. So when you say something that hurts somebody's feelings, then their feelings being hurt determines whether you should be able to say that or not. And I don't think that's right. I mean, we live in a culture where, well, first of all, as a preacher, I know that if you preach the truth, that's going to convict people of their sins and not be a particularly powerful or positive thing for them to go through. So Do I stop preaching the scripture because it hurts somebody's feelings? So who determines hate speech? Who makes that decision? Again, I think the way you overcome hate speech is with better speech, by teaching people the right thing to say.
And you come from your heart. You got to be a caring person to share those thoughts. You know, it puts you in a tough position.
Well, who makes that decision? Who decides whether it's hate speech or not? So what you have in our country right now is this intersectionality where people who don't necessarily agree on different issues have all been hurt, or in their words, oppressed in different ways. And so they find their common ground together in their being hurt. And that, again, that's the intersectionality issue that's going on in our culture. And they then form a group that tries to impose their rights upon other people, and other people get afraid to say anything because they might lose their jobs or get deducted in their salaries or whatever that might be. It's just not healthy. In the long run, it causes intimidation, and the people with power come together to impose their power on other people, and again, that's just not healthy.
But today, here in 2022, we have the freedom of speech.
That is still guaranteed us, and it needs to be fought for. We need to fight for it with every ounce of our being, because it's so important that people be granted the right to say whatever they want to say. That's why, in my opinion, Elon Musk overtaking Twitter was a good thing. You know, Twitter is a public marketplace of ideas. And if you only allow one view to be expressed and you eliminate other people from expressing their views on it, that's not healthy. That's not a good society. So a healthy, robust, caring society allows all opinions to be expressed. And Twitter should be, in the free marketplace of ideas, a place where we can go and express our ideas. There's freedom of speech. And when that doesn't happen, I think there is negative that will come upon a culture because we don't grant this freedom to happen in our nation.
What do you have next?
Well, the next freedom, and we'll look at this probably in our next segment, is the freedom of religion. So important, because our founding fathers came from an area of the world where the government imposed religion upon the people, and they had to do whatever the government told them to do regarding their religion. So they came to America, and one of the things that was guaranteed was for people to freely exercise their religion as they desire. Now, we need to note that along with the freedom of religion, there is also the guarantee that there is no one established religion in the country. And we know that. We know that that is important in our nation. We don't have one religion that is our national religion. But having said that, we also know that there are religious expressions that are allowed in our country, and by doing that, you are permitting religion to influence not only culture but politics. You're inviting religion to come to the table and influence the way that people think politically. And if you don't like the way somebody thinks politically by being influenced by their religion, don't vote for them. You know, eliminate them in the next election. But to say that religion should not influence a person's public views is absolutely ludicrous. That is, again, a part of our freedom of religion that we have in our nation. So we need to safeguard that. We need to make sure that as our culture becomes increasingly secularized, that the freedom to speak and the freedom to exercise our religion are important guarantees in our Constitution that are celebrated this July the 4th weekend. Ed Billick joins me. I'm David Chadwick, and we'll come back and talk some more about our precious freedoms in just a moment. I'll be right back. God bless America. It's still the greatest nation on the face of the earth. Thank you, Kate Smith.
I could just see her at a Philadelphia Flyers game talking and singing the song. She was like their patron saint, so to speak. They won the Stanley Cup with her with this song.
She was bigger than life. I mean, she really was. She represented so much of what was good in America for so many years with her vibrant personality.
That's a throwback 4th of July song for me.
Well, everyone, I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT, along with my friend Ed Billick. You know, happy 4th of July tomorrow, and we are looking at our different freedoms that are around us in our land. And Ed, in the last segment, we looked at the freedom of religion. And I just want to emphasize today, here on Sunday, and most Christians worship on Sunday. The Seventh-day Adventists worship on Saturday for a lot of different reasons, but most Christians worship on Sunday. Muslims, of course, worship on Friday, but the bottom line is that you have been guaranteed in the Constitution, in this constitutional republic in which we live, the ability to gather together to worship. And you should so, without impediment from the government, you should be able to celebrate that. It's an important part of your life, and we should acknowledge that as a unique aspect of our nation. There is no establishment of one religion. We note that, too, in our constitutional republic. We do not have Christianity being the major religion of the state. That can't happen. There is no one state religion. But we do allow for everyone and anyone to practice their faith as they should want to. And on Sunday, today, we particularly acknowledge that and want to affirm how people are out there all over everywhere worshiping the living God and celebrating the fact that freedom of religion exists in our nation.
You know, in the Catholic faith and many others, they call the place of gathering the sanctuary. It's a safe place. It's a peaceful place. It's a place so you can go be with God and be with yourself.
I think it's called a sanctuary because it's a place that is guaranteed where people can come together and be safe there. They're protected from the outside because our constitutional freedoms give people the right to come together to worship. Now, I've been asked the question by many, well, how do you look at American religious life right now? There's no question that there is a secularization that's happening around. There's no question that particularly those who would call themselves more progressive are declaring themselves as atheists right now, no faith whatsoever. And they are particularly offended by the idea that freedom of religion exists. They just don't like religion influencing public policy and their understanding of how life should be lived in America. But sorry, you know, that's the way it is in our constitutional republic. People are guaranteed the freedom of religion and the freedom to gather to worship God. So I just want to make sure all celebrate that freedom today, Ed. It's just so important for folks to understand.
No, and absolutely. And how you express that wherever you are. And it's the kind of person you the kind of person you want to be, and you want to enjoy those freedoms. David, you got a couple more there, don't we?
I do. Our First Amendment guarantees us certain freedoms that we are celebrating this 4th of July tomorrow. The first one we looked at was the freedom of speech, that we should be able to say what we want to say. I just really believe with all my heart, the way you overcome bad speech is with good speech. And you can't yell fire in a crowded theater. I get that. I understand that. But that is the exception, not the rule. Most people should be able to say their opinion, and the way you overcome a bad opinion is with a good opinion. The second one was the freedom of religion that we just talked about, the ability for people to gather together to worship. The third one is the freedom of press, that the press has the protection of our Constitution to go and discover and print what is necessary for people to know. And I think this is so important because the press has generally been the watchdog of right behavior. You know, I can think back to 1973 and the Watergate decision and how that whole thing was exposed by a couple of reporters for the Washington Post. That freedom of press allowed that evil to be exposed. Now, my concern today is the press is greatly inhabited by people who are progressives and to the left. So you don't really have a free press because there aren't conservative presses out there that can give their opinion to balance the big ones like the New York Times, the Washington Post, and those other major publications that are out there.
You know, I agree, tend to agree with you, but there's also a lot of spinoffs now of different points of view, different networks. Now, when you say press printed, I don't know how many people still read a paper, or how many people still read magazines. So it's media, in the freedom of the media. You and I get to talk our faith here on the show every Sunday, okay? There are different news outlets have bring different points of view. My point is, don't get so embodied with one, then you can't hear or see what others are saying.
Yeah, that's a great point.
It's a responsibility we have.
Yeah, that's a great point. And press is not just the printed newspaper, for example. The press is the media. And, of course, with the advent of social media, we now have all different kinds of ways to receive our news. My concern is that people are polarized and just receive their news that only supports their particular view, and they don't get to see the other side. I know on my Twitter feed, I have some conservative thoughts that are, and conservative people, excuse me, that I follow. I also have some very progressive people that I follow, and I try to balance out the two as I arrive at my own conclusion. Now, obviously, I'm more conservative, and I think, you know, my dad was right that, you know, too often the progressive or liberal idea has such an open mind, they let their brains fall out. You know, I just don't think it's healthy for a culture to have anything and everything goes. I do think there needs to be boundaries, and so I find myself much more conservative, but I also think there's value in reading the other side. And when you read the other side and you think, okay, I never thought of that before, it only makes your argument stronger. So again, the freedom of the press is radio, it's Twitter, it's social media, it's the print media, whatever it might be, all coming together and giving different views. And then we, the people, are able to read and arrive at a conclusion that we think is best for us and the nation.
I enjoy talking to people. They say they're middle of the road. And I say, well, tell me how. And then they explain. I go, yeah, very interesting. Okay, I didn't think of that. Yeah, that's important. You got to consider that. So yeah. I love those kind of discussions.
Well, that is good. I mean, the problem with living in the middle of the road, though, is that's where most roadkill is.
Is that a Davidism?
I don't know. It might well be, but you know, it is the problem, because it's like living with one foot on the dock and one foot in the canoe. You can't stay there forever. Eventually, you've got to make a decision. Am I going to be in the dock or in the canoe? And when you make that decision, then you have both feet firmly planted and you can move forward in life. But if you live like that imbalanced position and in the middle of the road, you're never going to stand for anything. And if you don't stand for anything, then ultimately you'll be overwhelmed by the people who are strongly convicted.
So what you're talking about is developing your character, and you are who you are, what you believe, and how you exert your influence on others and how you express yourself.
Right. And the freedom of press, again, is the freedom for people to explore the issues and bring them to the table, and then allow them to reach the psyche of the American people and inform their voting. Now, again, a lot of the issue for many people today is, why isn't the conservative side being given the larger platform? And people would point to, for example, the Hunter Biden issue and the laptop, which had information on there that people think would have defeated Joe Biden in the last election. Why in the world wasn't that out there? Why didn't the press give that some kind of credence? And that's the concern. The press is not strong whenever it has only one opinion coming forth from its particular perspective. So the freedom of press, I hope and pray, as we move forward as a nation, will continue to have both sides presented to our people, and our people will be informed as they make the right decision on how they need to vote. Well, the next one is, Ed, not just the freedom of speech, the freedom of religion, the freedom of press, but the freedom to assemble, that we are guaranteed as a people the right to assemble together to protest, to state our view, and not have the government tyrannize us when we do so. So when you see people out on the streets objecting to whatever, that is a guaranteed freedom that we have. Where in Nazi Germany, for example, when people would go on the streets and protest, they'd be arrested.
Oh, yeah.
They'd be beaten up by the brown shirts. They had no ability to do so. So our founding fathers wanted to make sure that our people, as American citizens, had the right to assemble peacefully and also be able to express their views. Now, maybe that's the key word, peacefully. What we saw 2 years ago in the summer of 2020 in the George Floyd protest makes no sense to me, with the number of lives that were lost, the millions upon millions of dollars that were destroyed in people's property. That doesn't make sense to me. That should be stopped. You cannot allow that to happen. That's law and order, and law and order needs to be a part of our nation's heritage. But the ability to come together to express our views and be able to say, this is what I believe, with other people who believe the same way, I think that's important.
Absolutely. Coming up in the next segment?
Well, we're going to look at the final one, and that is the right to petition the government. That is the final right that we are guaranteed, and I think that's an important thing to look at as well. I'm David Chadwick. We'll be right back.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
Well, God bless our country, especially the day before July the 4th, when tomorrow we will celebrate our great freedoms. Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110-99.3 WBT with my friend Ed Billick, and we have been talking today about our precious American freedoms. They are unique to our constitutional republic. Folks, we don't have a democracy. We have a constitutional republic, a republic that has our leaders representing us in accordance with a constitution that I believe is not a living, breathing document. I believe there is originalism there and an intent by the authors that we need to continue to find today. Not rewriting it because of some progressive agenda, but saying these are the things given to us as a nation, uniquely American, and we need to celebrate them today and forever.
And you call that the foundational principles, right? That's the building blocks.
Exactly. And these freedoms guaranteed us in the First Amendment that we've looked at today, Ed, and gone over once again. And by the way, I remember as a kid, I used to have to study these in a constitutional civics class. I don't know if you had to do that, but we took civics in order to understand how to be a civil society based on our constitutional republic and the freedoms guaranteed therein. We've looked at them again today, and in case people didn't know them or have forgotten them, we have five freedoms that are basically ours in the First Amendment: the freedom of speech, secondly, the freedom of religion, thirdly, the freedom of press, fourth, the freedom of assembly, and finally, the right to petition the government. That's our last freedom, and that basically means that we have the right as the citizens. If we see something that we don't like or a person in office that we don't like, we can petition the government to remove that person in another election. We saw that in California, for example, with Gavin Newsom. There was a petition to try to remove him from office. It was unsuccessful, but that is what we're talking about here.
Was that like the DA in San Francisco?
Exactly. The same thing happened with the DA in San Francisco. That one was successful. There was a petition to remove him because they thought he was too progressive and not really going after crime.
Do referendums fall into this bucket?
It would be similar. We have the right to petition the government for a referendum that we would like to see passed. But the question is, who initiates it? If the people initiate it, it's the right to petition the government. If the government produces a referendum for people to vote on, that's a little bit different because the government's the one who initiated it. But nevertheless, it's still the people making that decision regarding how they want to live their lives.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Those are the basic freedoms.
Those are our building block
You were talking about civics class. I remember clearly, ninth grade, for the whole year, it was civics. Right. I wonder if they teach that today.
I don't know if they do, Ed, and I just can't help but think we are generationally moving farther and farther away from an appreciation of our constitutional republic and these five freedoms that are guaranteed us in the Constitution. So let me read them once again so people can celebrate them, understand them, but also look forward to making them be a part of your tomorrow on July the 4th. Maybe parents go over these with your kids, because I think we need to pass them on in whatever way we can, either through school, homeschool, whatever way we can, make sure that our kids understand that our unique government gives us the freedom of speech, religion, press, assembly, and the right to petition the government. You know, together, these five columns hold up the roof of our nation's great freedoms, our nation's great strength. And they are what make the people of the United States of America the freest people on the face of the earth. And Ed, we've talked before on this program, but how many people are trying to get here? They're trying to come to America. Well, why? Why do so many people want to come here? It's because of those five freedoms, those building blocks that God has given us.
In 2 minutes, David, before we get our final prayer, as you pray for our country, America the Beautiful. I mean, you travel throughout this land. This is a wonderful, wonderful country. A lot of people, kind of concerned about going to Europe or to Asia or South America for vacations and such. Gosh, just go hit the national parks here.
Oh, wow.
The sights and scenery of this country is truly America is a beautiful country.
It is a America the Beautiful. I mean, what we have had sung to us by Kate Smith, and it is a gorgeous nation with so many splendorous natural God-given gifts to us. So that's something that would take a lifetime, is to go enjoy a lot of America's spectacular sights. I mean, one that sits in my mind is when Marilyn and I had the privilege of going up to Niagara Falls several years ago, and we spent the whole day there just looking at that unbelievable.
Where's all that water coming from?
Oh my gosh, there's tons and tons of water pouring over that waterfall, but it is just a beautiful part of this world that should make all of us, I think, believe in God.
Absolutely. Go to Grandfather Mountain right here in the Carolinas. Go to the Blue Ridge. Go to the beaches, which I know you enjoy.
I love going there, and there's just something about the lap of the waves on the sand. There's something about the control of the particular tide by the moon and the stars. As we look at God's created order, how can you not believe in God? I just don't think it's possible to look at creation and not believe in a creator. In Romans 1, Paul says that the reason people don't believe in God is because they have, quote unquote, suppressed the truth. Suppressed the truth. So you've got the obvious truth that surrounds you in the world. So what do? We suppress it. We come up with all different explanations for the existence of these things. Instead of saying, no, we have a creator. We're the creatures. We worship the creator. And in the worship of the creator, we are blessed as a nation. And by the way, Ed, one final thought. These five freedoms that we've looked at today all come from God. They are gifts from Him. And as we worship the one true God, we are given these freedoms and should enjoy them as a nation. And God will bless any nation that follows Him in celebrating these freedoms. So tomorrow, July the 4th, everyone, enjoy it. Fireworks, family, food, whatever it might be. But don't forget your freedoms as well, because that really is the purpose of July the 4th. Ed, happy July the 4th to you.
Yes, happy Independence Day as well. Final little prayer here.
Father in heaven, we're grateful for all you give us. You are so good to us in so many different ways. And we thank you for the freedoms of this nation, the formation of this nation, and the ability for those of us to live in it. You have granted us so much, and we're thankful for it. Never let a day go by, Lord, that we don't thank you for the ability to live in this nation and to see your goodness being poured out to us. Lord, I do thank you for July the 4th tomorrow, and I pray that we would celebrate also those who've given their lives for the purpose of us having these freedoms. Let us remember them and their family members who no longer have them around because they paid the ultimate sacrifice so that we can live freely. And Lord, I would pray finally that you would take care of every listener today, no matter what their need may be, that you would supply it. Give us this day our daily bread. You promise to meet our daily bread needs, and you promise to care for us in every way. So just take care of all those listening right now, and let us again celebrate these freedoms because they are precious and good in order for us to live life to the full.